This is Dr. Jeff Barrows, and you are listening to another episode of our new CMDA podcast, The Voice of Advocacy. Today, we're going to discuss one of the most important legal cases that CMDA has ever been involved with, a case that is going up before the Supreme Court of the United States in just a little over a week as we record this episode in March of 2024. That case is known as AHM versus FDA and involves the chemical abortion drug mifepristone. AHM stands for the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, and CMDA is one of the founding members of the AHM and as such is named in this landmark lawsuit. To help us understand the implications of this case, I'm honored to have with me today Julie Marie Blake. Julie Marie serves as Senior Counsel for Regulatory Litigation at Alliance Defending Freedom, the legal group that is handling our case. She received her BA in Politics and Theology and Religious Studies from the Catholic University of America in 2006, and her Jurisprudence degree, Magna Cum Laude, from Notre Dame Law School in 2009. Following law school, she served as a law clerk for Judge Paul Kelly on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 10th Circuit. She then began her legal career in private practice, where she also served as a volunteer amicus counsel for ADF, and then went on to serve as Assistant Solicitor General for the state of West Virginia from 2013 to 2017. And then as Deputy Solicitor General for the state of Missouri from 2017 to 2020 before joining ADF as Senior Counsel. She has argued in many federal and state appeals, including before the 8th Circuit, and is admitted to argue before the Supreme Court. So welcome, Julie Marie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's an honor to have you with us today. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. And as we dive in, I know many of our members have a general idea of what this lawsuit, AHM versus FDA, entails. And I believe many are unaware, though, of the specificity of what is at stake in this case as it comes before the Supreme Court. So could you briefly outline our victories in the lower courts and the exact decision that the Supreme Court has agreed to address?
Sure. So this case is about women's health and safety. Women should have the ongoing in-person care of a doctor when they're taking high-risk drugs. But when it comes to chemical abortion drugs, the FDA has failed that responsibility and failed to protect women and girls. And this case is about standing up to the FDA, standing up for women, standing up for the women who are hurt by chemical abortion drugs, and trying to put their health and safety back in the forefront of this regime about chemical abortion drugs. So chemical abortion drugs, sometimes called mifepristone and misoprostol, are an alternative to a surgical abortion. They're a method that came into approval in the United States during the end of the Bill Clinton administration. And right now, they're about more than half of all abortions in America. The FDA was responsible for looking at the health and safety of these drugs before putting them on the market. And what we found, what all of the doctors who are participating in the case found, is that the FDA didn't review these drugs for health and safety, and then systematically over the years removed important, crucial safeguards protecting women's health and safety, which made them even more dangerous. So right now, the issue in front of the U.S. Supreme Court is whether the FDA violated the law when it removed safety standards on these drugs, the most important safety standard of which is an in-person doctor visit. And that's just a common sense requirement for any drug, especially a high-risk drug, that you get checked out in person by a doctor, screened to make sure that you don't have something that would make it particularly dangerous for you to have the drug. And then when you're taking the high-risk drug, to make sure that the complications that happen are being noticed, they're being treated, and that you're not on your own taking these drugs. And this is really important for abortion drugs because the FDA's own label says that 1 in 25 women who take these drugs will end up in the emergency room.
So we actually have had a victory. We had a victory at the district court level and at the Fifth Circuit level. Could you briefly review those victories for our members?
Yes. So every court that has looked at this case that has looked at the issue of the FDA's process has agreed that the FDA has not followed the law and that it has disregarded women's health and safety by approving these dangerous high-risk abortion drugs. The first court to look at this issue was the federal trial court in Texas, and that judge ruled that the entire suite of FDA actions, approving the drug in the first place, removing safeguards, removing even more safeguards, was unlawful from start to finish. An appeals court then looked at that issue again, and it agreed that at a minimum, the removal of all of the safeguards was unlawful. And so the removal of these safeguards was really important. So when I say removing safeguards, I mean removing the requirement to have an in-person doctor visit. Mm-hmm. Originally, the FDA required 3 doctor visits before, during, and after. In-person dispensing required adverse events to be reported, limited the time period when these drugs would be taken so that when you were later in a pregnancy, you wouldn't be taking these drugs when they're far, far more likely to harm the women taking them. So that appeals court looked at all the removal of safeguards and said that the FDA had not followed the law and it had not protected the health and safety of women by doing this. And it didn't have evidence to show that removing any of these safeguards was safe when the FDA's own label says that 1 in 25 women will end up in the emergency room. And so that's the issue now in front of the Supreme Court. Both of the courts that have looked at this issue before have agreed that what the FDA did violated the law because it wasn't protecting women's health and safety. And we're hopeful that the U.S. Supreme Court will conclude the same thing next week when it looks at this issue itself.
Well, that brings up my next question, Julie, and that is, I know that there probably are a variety of decisions that the Supreme Court could come to. So could you kind of lay those out briefly and how it would work out practically in terms of access to mifepristone?
Right. So what we're asking the court to do is to hold the FDA accountable for violating its duty to protect women and girls. And we're asking the court to restore all of these safeguards. One of the most important safeguards is the in-person care of a doctor. And that was the last safeguard that the FDA removed. So it would be incredibly important for women's health for the Supreme Court to restore even just that safeguard. Better yet would be going back to the safeguards that the Obama administration had in place under these drugs, where you didn't just get a visit with an in-person doctor, but you got 3 visits with a doctor before, during, and after. Even better, too, would be going back to the Obama administration, which said that you can't take these drugs deeper and later into pregnancy, but that they were limited to early in pregnancy instead of later. And that's important because the complication rate goes up the more advanced the pregnancy is and the later in time the woman takes it. And another important safeguard we'd like the Supreme Court to order the FDA to put back in place is simply to report adverse events. So right now, if something bad happens from an abortion drug, there's no requirement to tell the FDA to have studies to collect the data. And this absence of data is really an important problem because it lets people say, well, these drugs are safe. You don't have any evidence they're wrong. Well, if the FDA said, don't collect the evidence of harm, that what these drugs are doing is hurting women, you're just not going to have that data. Yeah. And it's a problem with the FDA's own creation. So at a very minimum, if you want an evidence-based approach to medicine, you should look at and collect the information that shows what is happening on the ground with these drugs when they're being taken.
When I learned that in reading this case from the very beginning, that they're actually saying there aren't many reports of adverse events without acknowledging that they stopped requiring that report in 2016, it's just astounding to me that they would even try and make that argument. So you're making excellent points. So I guess my next question, Julie, is, you know, you're a senior counsel at ADF and you've been involved in this case since its very beginning, so you have spent lots and lots of time studying the actions of the FDA surrounding this drug. And in terms of safety, overall safety regarding mifepristone, what stands out in your mind and what one or two things would you want our members as healthcare professionals to be aware of most regarding the approval and use of this drug?
Well, the most important thing to know is that women and girls who take abortion drugs face severe, sometimes life-threatening harm because the FDA has not protected their health and safety, because the FDA is letting these drugs be dispensed with virtually no safeguards whatsoever. So the FDA's own label says that 1 in 25 women who take these drugs will end up in the emergency room. And women can face severe bleeding, life-threatening infections. If it's an ectopic pregnancy, the drug will do nothing to stop the ectopic pregnancy. And of course, that's such a fast-moving situation that you need a doctor immediately to care for a woman if you have an ectopic pregnancy. But you know, unfortunately, the symptoms of an ectopic pregnancy are very similar to the symptoms of what happens if you're doing a chemical abortion. A ton of pain. And, you know, women sometimes then will think, oh, this is just my chemical abortion going on, when really they're having an ectopic pregnancy and they immediately need intervention by a doctor. So that's why an in-person doctor is so important. When the FDA removed an in-person requirement, it's allowing these drugs to be dispensed online, in the mail, even now at pharmacies like Walgreens or CVS, without ever having a doctor see a woman in person. And worse, I didn't even mention this, one of the safeguards it removed was the requirement that you even have a doctor be the person on the other end of a website. Now it's not required to be a doctor. It could be any form of person in healthcare. And none of this is putting women's health and safety first. And so that's why the doctors who do care for women who have complications from abortion drugs, be aware that this is happening on a massive scale in America, that more than half of abortions are being done by chemical abortion drugs, that women are often just going online, filling out a form, taking, perhaps being coerced to take. No one will know because there's no doctor there to make sure she's making informed consent, that it's voluntary to have an abortion. Then, you know, I think what we have is members of CMDA, ABLAW, Catholic Medical Association, all the other doctors in the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine are seeing the fallout of this regime, this 50-state mail order chemical abortion regime where no one is putting women's health and safety first. And what the FDA says is, look, we know 1 in 25 women are going to end up in an emergency room. So just go to the emergency room. Well, our doctors are the emergency room doctors. They are the people who see the women who are scared, who are alone, who are unprepared for what a chemical abortion involves, who are unprepared for the excruciating pain a chemical abortion often involves, and the severe bleeding a chemical abortion often involves. And they go to the emergency room alone, scared, not sure what's happening, not even able to give the emergency room doctor all the information they need because they don't have an in-person doctor there to ensure continuity of care. And the members of CMDA, APLOG, all of these doctors are trying to keep these women safe, caring for women who might need an emergency surgical intervention, a blood transfusion, and, you know, someone to care for them in the middle of this horrific experience. So the more our members know about what's going on with Abortion America, the more they realize that this is not confined to brick and mortar abortion clinics like surgical abortions were. This is something that's endangering the health and welfare of female patients across the country every day.
You know, when you stop and think about just prescription drugs, how many prescription drugs are given without any doctor acknowledgement at all? There's more given over telemedicine where you have a doctor or some healthcare professional at one end, but there are very few that are given in this way where you just have anybody that just decides they want this particular drug, they can just get it over the internet without any interaction with a healthcare professional, and that certainly is scary. With any prescription drug, especially with one as dangerous as mifepristone.
Right. We're unaware of any other high-risk drug where the FDA has similarly systematically removed safeguards and has failed to protect patients' health as it has with chemical abortion drugs. And that's why we're asking the Supreme Court to say that the FDA has failed its responsibility to put health and safety first when it comes to abortion drugs.
Well, as we go into this case coming up, I know there's a lot of prayer needs that we can be meeting. We have many members who spend a significant amount of time in prayer. So how can we and they all be praying for you and the ADF team as we head into this Supreme Court hearing?
It is always important to pray for the judges, the justices who are going to be hearing the case, for their welfare, their wisdom, their safety, their family safety, and all of the court staff, the employees who support them as well. Every single one of them deserves our prayer for their welfare and their well-being. And that extends to the lawyers on the case too, the lawyers on both sides, for all the people in the case, for the manufacturer of these drugs, for the FDA itself, and of course for the lawyers at Alliance Defending Freedom too. We are asking for life, for women's health and safety to prevail, to be first here. And the most important thing is to focus on the women who've been harmed. And so I think we simply can't be in prayer enough for all the women who've experienced firsthand these complications, and for all the doctors who courageously and compassionately every day care for the women who once were protected from these high-risk drugs but weren't protected anymore.
Well, Julie Marie, this is a very important work. I know all of our members, when we think about how the Bible looks at unborn life, we typically think of Psalm 139, where David talks about how God had viewed him as he formed him in the womb. And he doesn't call David an it, it's a he. And David sees himself as already being who he was, even in his mother's womb. So we know life begins at conception or fertilization, according to Scripture. And it's so important to be protecting these unborn children from not just the surgical abortions, as we've been talking about, the chemical abortion. So I just want to thank you and all your colleagues there at ADF for all the work, the hours, and the passion that you put into this. We certainly couldn't be in this case without you, so we're very thankful for all of your work and all your protection of unborn life. And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Well, for those who have been listening, we thank you for being on board with us and listening to this new CMDA podcast, The Voice of Advocacy. And that's it for this time, and hope to have you back in about a month or so.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.